Empire Notes are weekly commentaries filed by Rahul Mahajan, author of Full Spectrum Dominance and the New Crusade. Today's commentary is about declining violence in Iraq.
Well, there's another elephant in the room. You can tell by how quiet opponents of the war in Iraq have become. The last 2 months have, it seems, shown a precipitous drop in violence in Iraq. The best-known and most easily tracked statistic is, of course, U.S. military fatalities. There were 38 in October and 32 thus far in November, as compared with an average of about 70 per month overall, or 85 per month in previous Octobers and Novembers. This is particularly striking given the elevated troop levels in the country. Iraqi fatalities, combatant or non-combatant, are far more difficult to track, and it's likely that all official tabulations are gross underestimates. Still, reported violence against civilians in Iraq is way down by a factor of 3 or so compared with the summer, and maybe a factor of 6 or more compared with the height of the violence in late 2006. It's easy to notice a huge drop in reported high-casualty car bombings. The Bush administration and its right-wing supporters are crowing, and everybody else is dead silent. The Democratic presidential candidates, forced by the conventions of American politics to open their mouths even when they have nothing to say, have, at least the leading candidates have, decided that it's important to acknowledge the good news and slightly soft-pedal their already soft-pedaled criticisms of the conduct of the war. The websites of Clinton, Obama, and Edwards all have plans to end the war in Iraq, but none of those plans have been updated to take into account recent events, nor indeed do any of them rise above the most banal of platitudes. The left is saying even less than that. At this point, we don't even know if the drop in violence is sustainable, let alone why it's happened. But there are some things we can say. It's certain that the extreme and indiscriminate violence perpetrated by some insurgent groups, combined with the lack of any concrete benefits they bring, has alienated many to the point that they see anybody else as better. Tribal Sunnis fed up with Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Shia fed up with the Mahdi army's reign of terror, other vengeance seekers, have decided that their primary concern is not the depredations of the U.S. military, and that the best way to oppose their worst enemies is an alliance of convenience with the United States. How much any of this has to do with the increased number of troops and the supposed shift to a counterinsurgency strategy is unclear. What is clear, I think, is it has little to do with Americans winning hearts and minds in Iraq. Not only is that not how counterinsurgency actually works, all the Americans need to do on that front is not be as bad as the jihadis and the death squads. If it does have to do with the new strategy at all, it's simply two things. First, that the Americans are seen now as having enough of a presence on the ground for people to risk allying with them against those they hate even more than the Americans. As troops are drawn down, this calculation could shift. And second, that the Americans are establishing closer control over the population, although unfortunately this is impossible to verify in the absence of information. It is interesting to note that John Lee Anderson's account of operations in the latest issue of The New Yorker describes troops as engaging in the same kinds of gratuitous physical and verbal abuse so amply documented from the earlier period of the occupation. Australian counterinsurgency expert David Kilcullen describes these alliance shifts as signs that, quote, more Iraqis are lining up with the government and against extremism. This is nonsense. Against extremism, definitely, and with the U.S. troops tactically, yes, but the Anbar awakening is not lining up with the Shia-dominated government, and there are no signs that it ever will. But then, contrary to popular opinion, the goal of the United States is not unity and stability in Iraq, it is retention of the most U.S. influence with the least trouble. That is the goal that's being better served now than it was last year. Criticizing the tales of the surge's success by saying that it hasn't led to a political solution misses the point and confuses rhetoric with reality. For the most part, opponents of the war are falling back on the hoary, whatever happens in Iraq isn't worth the life of one more American soldier, a proposition that's not only false but politically useless. We need to respond to the new events in Iraq, and we need to do it better than that. For Empire Notes, this is Rahul Mahajan.
www.empirenotes.org